This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
From you guys to be on that. Ready? Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. Sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam wa taslima kathira thumma ma ba'd. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us among those who witness Laylatul Qadr ya rabbil alameen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from your fasting, accept your ibadah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept your good deeds ya rabbil alameen. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make this evening and this night a night of blessing for all of us, ya Allah. To make our sins forgiven, ya Rabbil Alameen. And we, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, accept us in Jannat al-Firdaus al-A'la, ya Rabbil Alameen. SubhanAllah, I was thinking what to start with in terms of a series that we need to talk about this particular season of the month of Ramadan. We've been talking about heart softeners or raqa'iq. We talked about Sahih al-Bukhari. We discussed some of the books of Imam al-Ghazali, rahimahullah ta'ala. Imam al-Qayyim al-Jawziyyah rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi. So one of the things I want to share with you this time of the year, inshallah, some of these heart softeners that we can find in the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the stories of the companions radiyallahu ta'ala anhum wa ardaahum. Some of the very important stories of the Sahaba radiyallahu anhum, which also relate to a lot of the narrations we mentioned in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran. Certain phenomena that are very, very important for us to understand, reflect on. As we move on in this life, as we see how things are changing and shifting around us in this society, and subhanAllah, the world affairs and events, and how the culture of human beings and people is shifting and changing, becomes so hard and so difficult to remain focused, so hard and so difficult to survive and live on this path of guidance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you know that the challenges, the temptations around you are so severe and so much, subhanAllah. I mean, back in the days when people wanted to commit a sin, they're going to have to make an effort for it. They had to go and plan it and spend days and nights and even looking for opportunities, probably save money for it and make a trip and a journey and go all the way there before they can commit a sin. And in the process, they might forget about it. Things might come up and they would never do it, subhanAllah. Allah will protect them in one way or another from falling into the sin. So the chances of temptations were far apart. For us in this time, you don't even have to make anything. You don't have to make an effort. The temptation comes into your pocket. If you have a smartphone with you, there is no doubt you've been bombarded by all these temptations day and night, whether you like it or not. Even if you're not soliciting any of that stuff, it still comes to you and comes your way. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect you, O Rabb al-Alameen. So as a result of this, the chance for temptation, the chance for people to drop out, the chance of people to drop out of this path becomes higher and higher and higher. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect you and protect your family, Ya Rabbil Alameen. If I just ask right now randomly, basically, how many of you right now here in this room, mashallah, we have close to 100 plus people, alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, how many of you know somebody that used to be with them at some point in life on this path to Allah Azza wa Jal, path of guidance, path of da'wah, but then now you realize they're no longer on that same path? How many of you would know that? Anyone? Would you raise your hand? That's scary, right? It's like almost 70%, 80% say, yeah, I know somebody who was actually on the path and then they just dropped out. And that is something, as we move on again into this society and living the technology that we have today and the amount of temptation and pressure coming from right and left, Allah musta'an, the chance for people to drop out is becoming greater and greater and greater. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us, ya Rabbil Alameen. I want to share with you a few things about this issue. First of all, the phenomena of what we call them in the Arabic language, mutasaqitun, which means drop out. people will be on the path to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then they drop out. It's not new. It happened at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It happened after the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Among the ulama and saliheen, a lot of people, they suffered from that. I will continue. Because that's a fitna. That's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised, that Allah will test the people subhanahu wa ta'ala. But first, just to understand what the situation is. Imam Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, he said that when it comes to guidance, Allah Azza wa Jal, there are three kinds of guidance. When you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. When you ask Allah for guidance, Ya Allah, guide me to the straight path. He said there are three kinds of guidance that you're asking from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hidayatun ila الصراط, وهدايةٌ في الصراط, وهدايةٌ على الصراط. What does that mean? Hidayatun ila الصراط, guidance to that path. So when you are out of that path, you're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bring you from outside, inside. And then once you're inside, what do you need to do? You need to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep you on that path. So you ask Allah of guidance to keep you on this path. After you're in, you want to stay in. You don't want to just get in and then after some time drop out. And even if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keeps you on this path, what do you need to? What guidance do you need through, of course, this path right now, to go through it, to keep moving forward? So the three things, from outside the path, inside. And then once you're inside, that you never go off and you drop out. And the third thing is you move forward and you keep going through this path. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us among those who succeed in this path, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Now, some of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, they went through a lot of challenges. And I know many people in our time, they wonder, says, how could it be even, subhanAllah? How could this brother or this sister, I mean, she was so good, mashallah. She used to wear perfect hijab and she used to always come to the masjid and the main, among the first people, you know, in the session, taking notes and this and that. And suddenly now, I don't know if what she's wearing, qualifies to be hijab or not anymore. The brothers, the same thing too. MashaAllah, he used to be among all these people who call others to come to this halaqat. And they used to come and make sure that everybody comes with them and so on. So, but then after some time, you don't even know if they maintain the five daily prayers anymore. Wallahi, it is so scary. That thought is so scary. Sometimes, which is more dangerous even, when people start looking to people who they considered like role models. And I had these occasions in my life as well. As I grew up, subhanAllah, in the masajid from a very young age, some people used to be my mentors. My mentors. Which means they sat me in the session teaching me the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They taught me how to recite the Quran. And I know some of them, they dropped out. It was a great fitna. Imagine for someone who's 15 years old seeing his mentor who's 20 plus years old just dropping out. Imagine when you become 20 plus years old and you see one of your older mentors as well, who's already in the 30s plus, subhanAllah, suddenly, they're no longer as active as they used to be before. They're dropping out. Imagine the kind of fitna that you go through every now and then as you think about these people. So why are they dropping out anyway? What does it mean? I mean, they no longer believe what they've been teaching us? What is it? All the teachers we're getting from them was just false? Wasn't true? Well, here's the thing. Alhamdulillah, I learned it earlier from one of my earlier mentors as well. Is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Ali Imran, قال الله تبارك وتعالى, as a matter of fact, before Surah Ali Imran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ما كان الله ليذر المؤمنين على ما أنتم عليه حتى يميز الخبيث من الطيب وما كان الله ليطلعكم على الغيب ولكن الله يجتبي من رسله من يشاء. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allah Azza wa Jal would not leave you. مَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيَذَرَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. He wouldn't leave the believers just to claim that belief. عَلَى مَا أَنْتُمْ عَلَى, just the way you are. حَتَّى يَمِيزَ الْخَبِيثَ مِنَ الطَّيِّبِ, until he distinguishes, scrutinizes between the good and the not so good. الْخَبِيثَ مِنَ الطَّيِّبِ. So what does that mean? Is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will shake the people. Every now and then, there will be a huge shake-up in the community. Every now and then. And you need to ask Allah to protect you, to guard you, and keep you among those who stay firm on this path. That fitna can be way beyond your even your comprehension or imagination. Can shake your iman. It will shake your faith, shake your belief system, shake your subhanAllah, your all what you've been believing before, and suddenly just like, wow, this is so great. The fitna can be so great, subhanAllah. But Allah says He will shake you. He will shake you up. Why is that? And wallahi, I believe, yani, as many people, they're, mashallah, getting very excited and very optimistic about how the da'wah is working in the on the internet. Mashallah, we have a lot of khair, a lot of YouTube channels, all these live, you know, feeds from Facebook and other social media and so on. A lot of people think that this is amazing. This is so great. It is so great. It's so amazing. But at the same time, there is so much fluff out there. There is so much fluff. Anyone who has access to a smartphone right now, an easy access to an email, they can just open an account and they start, mashallah, broadcasting things like Allahu Akbar. They become Allama, Mufti, and all this stuff, and all these controversial things. People, they make opinions on these issues. And as a result, there is so much fluff out there, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not allow it to continue that way. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not allow it to continue that way. He will bring shake-ups. And this shake-up can actually cause so much damage. A lot of people will be lost in the fitna. A lot of people will be lost in this fitna. Their iman wasn't strong enough for them to hold on to, tight to this. But you know what? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's ways is that He said that He will shake the people up to see who's going to be strong enough to remain to the next level, and those will be dropout. May Allah protect you from being the dropout, Ya Rabbil Alameen. SubhanAllah. Many people, they were talking to me, you know, and recently and before, about some experiences they had with their own fellow da'wah members, probably, or even mentors, or even, subhanAllah, some of their friends and so forth. And then they just left the da'wah. They're too busy. Too busy with other things in life. And they would say, so how could it be that somebody who just find the sweetness of this deen just drop out and fall back? And maybe just kind of like, how would people even try to use the dunya while they're trying to get the deen, subhanAllah, out of it? I said, listen, that's nothing new. Even in the story of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu arda, he says, I never thought anyone followed Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would be following him for the dunya. Until I heard Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, "Minkum may yuridu dunya, wa minkum may yuridu al-akhirah." Some of you are after the dunya, and some are after the akhirah, the hereafter. This ayah is in Surah Ali Imran, in the context of speaking about the incident of Uhud. Imagine Uhud, Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala were there for what? To fight for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? Or at least that's what you thought. That's what we all thought. But a lot of these people, when they came to the fight, subhanAllah, even though they were with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, shaitan is clever. The shaitan is so clever, he can tarnish that intention, spoil the intention for many people. And that's when the victory, at least that's what they thought, was coming. A lot of people, they left their posts. And they went down to collect the spoils, the war spoils. And that's when the defeat came in. And that's when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Minkum may yuridu dunya." وَمِنْكُمْ يُرِدُ الْآخِرَةِ. Some of you are after dunya, and others after the akhirah. Even on the path to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, some will be after dunya, and others will be after the akhirah. So those who are after the dunya, at some point will be dropouts. They can't handle this. But those who came to it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they'll be able to sustain and continue and move on. SubhanAllah, if you can take also in context why Ibn Mas'ud said what he says about that, about this ayah. Because Abdullah ibn Mas'ud was one of the first people to embrace Islam. The early Muslims, those who were in Mecca, and Abdullah, he said even one of the narrations, Kuntu, he said, I used to be one of four people who say La ilaha illallah. You know, remember in Mecca, those who embrace Islam, they would do it secretly. So therefore, no one would know who's Muslim. So whenever they used to say, I was one of six people, I was one of 10 people, probably according to their knowledge. Maybe they're already 50 or 100, but they only knew 5-6 people. So Abdullah Mas'ud, though, was one of the very, very early people who embraced Islam. And when he became Muslim, he wanted to make sure that he would proclaim the Quran publicly in Mecca. No one dared to do that before. He said, Wallahi, I will do it. And he came out, he started reciting the Quran in Mecca in front of the people. And people, they get upset and they would slap him and they would hit him and he would bleed, radiallahu anhu. And he was still reciting the Quran. So when he was doing that and he was getting all the sacrifice, what was he getting out of it anyway? Nothing but the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the reward from Allah azza wa jal. So ultimately at the time to become Muslim was a very hazardous thing. But he would still take the chance. He would take the risk and do it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But when people came to Medina, a lot of people became Muslims at time of convenience. 13 years now in Islam in Mecca and now a couple more years in Medina. A lot of people became Muslims at times of convenience. So they didn't see these sacrifices of the early people. So therefore, when they came to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, maybe they were not scrutinized well like the early believers. Which is why when the shake-up came in during Uhud time, a lot of people unfortunately fell for it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مِنْكُمْ مَنْ يُرِيدُ الدُّنْيَا وَمِنْكُمْ مَنْ يُرِيدُ الْآخِرَةِ Some are after the dunya and some were after the akhirah. So those who drop out from this path to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they're nothing new. And they will continue. And again, it happened at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in many, many ways. And here's another example I want to share with you, inshallah, azza wa jal. The story of الثلاثة الذين خلفوا, the three companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who stayed behind in Medina when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam he commissioned and he ordered all those who were capable to travel with him to Tabuk, they should leave with him. Now let's put things in perspective. Tabuk happened on the 9th Hijri year. So that's after the conquest of Mecca. Which means the people, they now realize, alhamdulillah, no more battles, no more wars. We took Mecca, alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen. So the Arabian Peninsula is now embracing Islam. People coming to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in massive numbers. This is just like the internet era. People coming to in massive numbers. With that massive number of people, there was so much fluff coming with it. Subhanallah. So much fluff coming with it. Which is why when the Prophet ﷺ passed away, a lot of these people, they flipped. And they went back to where it came from. So there was so many of them. The Sahaba said at the time of the Prophet ﷺ, before he passed away, those who went with him, went out with him to the Hajj, were around 100,000 people. 100,000 people going to Hajj during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is like saying like millions of people going to Hajj this time. It was like a massive number. Never heard of before probably. But still, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away, a lot of these people were not strong enough in their deen. So they switched back again to where they came from. Which is why Abu Bakr as-Siddiq went to fight against these people. But the point is that there's a lot of massive, you know, exodus from shirk and kufr to Islam. It didn't last long for many, many of these people. And that's what we have seen in, subhanAllah, in recent time because of the internet and the exposure to social media. Massive number. People, they come to all these sessions. They come to all these conferences, mashallah. Great numbers. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give them all thabat, ya Rabbil Alameen, that they remain steadfast on this path. But is that natural? This is not natural. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sunan. And these sunnahs called Allah's ways, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And these ways of Allah Azza wa Jal, they're consistent. Which means every time we go to this level, there has to be a shake-up. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيَذَرَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ عَلَى مَا أَنْتُمْ عَلَيْهِ Allah will not let the believers to remain the way they are. Means you're going to have to shake them up to see who's truthful and who's not. So one of these occasions, the three of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, Tabuk, of course, obviously a lot of people come to Islam. And here's now the biggest fitna for them. They secure the southern borders, northern borders. They had some of the Romans and their allies recruiting against the Prophet ﷺ and this emerging new state. So the Prophet ﷺ anticipating these, of course, these skirmishes, he called everybody who's capable to carry arms and able to find a ride to come with him. No one was allowed to stay behind. And it happened in the summer. In the summer for the people of Mecca, people of Medina, who are coming from an agrarian society, who came from long time of wars until the conquest of Mecca. So they're recovering. They're rejuvenated, recovering right now. It's probably maybe the second year for them to harvest what they have lost for maybe for a few years. So it was for them a very difficult chance and time to leave. Like now, alhamdulillah, the grapevines, mashallah, they're fresh right now. The fruit is coming out. So it's time for them to stay in Medina. But here's the Prophet ﷺ saying, you come out with me, all of you. And the Prophet ﷺ started getting ready. And many, many people, they will come to the Prophet, Ya Rasulullah, I don't have a ride. Can you find a ride for me? Ya Rasulullah, please help me out. Ya Rasulullah, this, Ya Rasulullah. Some people stayed behind because they couldn't find a ride. And they left crying because they could not find a ride to go with the Prophet ﷺ. But one of the Sahaba, radiallahu ta'ala anhum, his name was Ka'b ibn Malik, radiallahu anhu. Ka'b ibn Malik, he was young, he was strong, wealthy enough, alhamdulillah, to have everything. So when the Prophet ﷺ was getting ready to leave, he thought, I'll catch up with the Prophet ﷺ. I'll do it, inshallah ta'ala. I will leave with him, bin al-Azim. Slowly and gradually, he started falling behind, thinking that he's going to be able to make it on time. But then the Prophet ﷺ, he left. And Ka'b ibn Malik, he said, well, I'll need an extra day or two, inshallah ta'ala. And I'm young enough, alhamdulillah, I'm strong enough. I will catch up with the Prophet ﷺ. And he kept delaying it day after day after day after day after day until it was even too late for him. Too late even to leave. The Prophet ﷺ, when he left, a lot of the people who went out with him, some of these people even, were actually literally dropping out of that caravan intentionally. Which means they wait for the caravan to go ahead. And they start going slower and slower and slower. And then what? They go back to Medina. And they enter Medina at night like we did our part. We left and they came back again. A lot of these people were hypocrites. They had no interest in going in the first place, but they just went out for the show. And now they're coming back again to stay, you know, at home. And they did. So at least their excuse, when the Prophet ﷺ comes back, Ya Rasulullah, we did leave with you. We couldn't, our rahila, our camel, you know, this and that. So therefore, we couldn't, so we had to return back. So they basically, they're preparing their excuse for the Prophet ﷺ. Ka'b ibn Malik didn't have that excuse. Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, they said that the Prophet ﷺ did not remember Ka'b ibn Malik until he was already in Tabuk. You know how long that is from Medina in terms of time-wise? An entire month. After a month, the Prophet ﷺ, he was sitting among the Sahaba radiallahu anhu, he goes, Aina Ka'b ibn Malik? Like, where's Ka'b ibn Malik? So one of the people immediately jumped into conclusion. He said, Ya Rasulullah, he stayed there in Medina, enjoying his comfort of his house, with looking between his two shoulders, like, you know, he's so smart. He outsmarted the Prophet ﷺ. Like, he's basically started bashing him, calling him hypocrites and a munafiq. And many people, unfortunately, they fall for this quickly. But another person, he said, قَالَ وَاللَّهِ بِئْسَ مَا قُلْتُ. That's so evil what you just said. No, Ya Rasulullah. We don't know anything except that he's a good guy. That's it. And that was it. Ka'ab radiallahu anhu, he said, I realized my mistake when I started walking in Medina and seeing that only those who stayed behind were two kinds. Were they the weak who were excused because they were unable to leave, or just a bunch of hypocrites? And I was walking between them. He said, I realized how bad that was. And when he heard the news that the Prophet ﷺ was heading back, it was even worse for him. Because for him right now, oh, subhanAllah, what am I going to do? And he started trying his best to fabricate the best lie you can think of. And he was very eloquent. He was a very smart person. So he was trying to prepare his excuse. Can you imagine spending an entire week or two thinking the Prophet's going to be arriving anytime right now? So how are you going to prepare yourself for him? And he just keeps every single day, every single night, is trying to fabricate that lie. And he spent all this time, all his energy, is just to lie. Subhanallah. How clever the shaitan can be. That we live on this path of da'wah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this path to Allah azza wa jal, and we still, every single day, we wake up, and we're not very truthful to ourselves. And we try to fabricate another lie about ourselves. But then when the Prophet ﷺ arrived, Rasulullah ﷺ, he sat in the masjid and he waited. He waited for the people who stayed behind to come and give their excuses. Everybody was coming in. They were coming in, Ya Rasulullah, you know, my dabba, my camel couldn't hold me. You know, I was this, I was that. Everybody who came to the Prophet ﷺ with an excuse, even though the Prophet ﷺ knew they were lying, he would say, go ahead, it's all right. Like he's forgiven them. Go ahead. Go ahead. And then suddenly Ka'b bin Malik shows up. When Ka'b shows up, the Prophet ﷺ looks at him. Ka'b, he said, فَتَبَسَّمَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهِ وَسَلَمْ فِي وَجْهِ تَبَسَّمَ الْمُغْضَبُ. He gave me that smirk. Like, here you are. I was wondering. That's what it means. So Ka'b, he realized, okay, so that's going to be tough. So he sat down before the Prophet ﷺ. And then he said, Ya Rasulullah, you know me very well. If I would want to give you the best excuse I can fabricate and think of, you know that I will be able to manage and give you that excuse. But I know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will expose me to you. And honestly, I have no excuse. Ya Rasulullah, I have absolutely no excuse. So when he said that, the Prophet ﷺ looked at the people around him and he says, أَمَّا هَذَا فَقَدْ صَدَقْ. This one is telling the truth. He says, I can't judge you right now. I'll leave it to Allah Azza wa Jal. And he left. Then on his way out, he asked the people, anyone else? The Prophet ﷺ said the same thing about him. He said, yeah, two, couple more people. Just a couple more people. Out of all these people who came saying, throwing their excuses, just a couple more people. And they were Murar ibn Rabi' and Hilal ibn Umayyah. One of them was an old man as well, subhanAllah. So the Prophet ﷺ says, we'll leave you to Allah Azza to judge. We'll leave you for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to take care of you. And subhanAllah, then the command came from the Prophet ﷺ for these three people that you need to boycott them. Complete boycott. What does that mean? Don't talk to them. Don't socialize with them. Don't be friends with them anymore. Just complete boycott. Like the way they personally chose to cut themselves off the community when everybody went out with the Prophet ﷺ, why should we include them in the community when we come back now? So let them suffer the same consequences for what they thought it would be an advantage. So they were basically kind of boycotted completely from the community. SubhanAllah, I mean, he says, Ka'b bin Malik, he says, as for the other two guys, they were not strong enough to hold on to this, so they stayed in their homes crying. He says, but I was young and I was strong and I was able to keep walking out and going out and, you know, live normal life. Go to the masjid. He said, I would just sometimes come to the Prophet, I'm close to the Prophet, and I would say salam, and I would see if he replied or not. And I said, making my salah, he said, next to the Prophet ﷺ, and I would see when the Prophet ﷺ sees me coming in, he turns his face away. The moment I start my takbir and my salah, the Prophet ﷺ will be looking at me. He's just like, why did you do that? That's what it means. Like, why did you do that? So Ka'b was so hard on him. And even he said, subhanAllah, out of all the people that I was trying to negotiate with and try to reason with, everybody was cutting me off. He says, one of them was my most beloved cousin. After 30 days or plus, he said, I just couldn't take it anymore. So he went to his cousin and tried to reason with him. He says, don't you know that I love Allah and His Messenger? So his cousin, he gives him an answer. He says, Allahu wa Rasulu A'lam. I don't know. I said, I don't know. He said, that answer for my cousin was just so disheartening, like, wow. Like, he doubt me right now. He really doubt me that I wasn't sincere. It was so disheartening. In a moment like this, a fitna like this, someone like Ka'b ibn Malik will just simply drop out. Like, why would I have to live like this, subhanAllah? It is so hard on him. And then, it wasn't enough after a whole month. Then the order came from the Prophet ﷺ to their wives. Their wives. That, you know what? You're not allowed to approach them. Don't talk to them. Leave them. SubhanAllah. The only person they could communicate and speak to their wives. They were ordered right now to leave them. Not to divorce them, but at least to keep them alone. So Ka'ab, again, was a strong man. He asked his wife, he says, you know what? Go ahead. Take your stuff and go to your family's home. Till Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala judge between us. And it was during that time when some rumors were spreading all over the Arabian Peninsula, and that's one of the greatest fitna right now, is that Ka'b ibn Malik, he receives one of those Roman envoys who come trading in Medina, and he had a scroll in his hand. He asked the people, he goes, where's Ka'b ibn Malik? Which one of you is Ka'b ibn Malik? So the people in the market didn't even call him. They start pointing with their hands and their fingers to where Ka'b ibn Malik is until he found him. He goes, you Ka'b ibn Malik? He says, yes. He goes, I have this for you. So he gives him the scroll and he opens it. And there's a letter. There's a letter from the king of the Romans, or at least in that region. And he says, we heard that inna sahibaka qad qalak. Your friend is boycotting you. Your man is actually cutting you off. And you don't have to live like this. Ilhaq bina nuwasik. If you would, come, join us. And you will see company there. So basically was tempting him right now. To that extent, in the last moment and probably the weakest point in his iman, then immediately Ka'b, he grabbed that scroll and he grabbed it again and he went straight to the fire. There was some sort of tanur, like a blacksmith or a baker. And he grabbed that and he threw it there. Qala, this is also part of the fitna. Like, no way. No way. So then 40 days and 40 nights. Then comes that moment when Ka'b ibn Malik radiallahu ta'ala anhu arda was praying on the roof of his masjid. And just like praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give him an answer. Like, that's it. He couldn't take it anymore. And while in his sujood, he said, I heard two people. One was on the back of his horse, running so fast. And the other one was running through, of course, you know, the hills on top of these houses and calling, Abshir ya Ka'b ibn Malik. Calling him, Abshir, good news, ya Ka'b ibn Malik. So when he heard that, he just dropped straight onto sajda, expecting the good news from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the forgiveness. And then when he arrived to him, he says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed your tawbah. Allah forgave you. He said, I didn't have anything to give him as a gift other than my shirt that I had on me. So I took it off. I said, it's yours. Then he said, I was looking for another shirt. I couldn't find, so I went to my neighbor's. I borrowed the shirt from him. And I went to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the masjid. When I met him, he says, he was very actually happy and he was smiling. He said to him, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Abshir, good news. Good news. This is the day that is better than the day when your mother, she brought the best day in your life since your mom gave birth to you. And then he recited the ayat that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed in Surah At-Tawbah, وَعَلَى الثَّلَاثَةِ الَّذِينَ خُلِّفُوا. As for those three who stayed behind, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed their tawbah. The point of this story is that Ka'b himself, radiallahu ta'ala an, since then, obviously, has been known, by the way, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala testified for him in the Quran that he was truthful. So when he was walking among the people, even after the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you were indeed looking into the eyes of someone who's been actually yani proven to be truthful. And Allah azza wa jal mentioned that he is truthful in the Quran, which means there is no way Ka'b ibn Malik, no way that Ka'b ibn Malik will become a dropout. No way that he would lie. Someone that you know his faith is strong and it's real and it's genuine. The question for us and for me and you all here right now is how many people do we even know? How many people can you look into their eye and they say, he's a truthful person. She's a truthful person. How many do we know? I honestly have no guarantee of anybody. Even when I look in the mirror, I wonder sometimes. Because as a human being, there is no guarantee. There is absolutely no guarantee until we die, until we get into Al-Jannah. If you guys remember the khatra I gave a few nights ago when we talked about the statement of Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala an, قَالَ اسْتَنُّوا بِمَنْ مَاتْ فَإِنَّ الْحَيِّ لَا تُؤْمَنُ عَلَيْهِ الْفِتْنَةِ. If you're going to follow someone who's already dead. Because the living is not yet safe from the fitna. There is no guarantee. And once again, when it comes to those who become dropout, that's a natural thing. The law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. People will be shaken in their iman, shaken in their faith. In ways, Allahu ta'ala alam. We don't even know how. So it's up to us if we would like to remain steadfast on this path or not. Abdullah ibn Qayyim rahimahullahu ta'ala, he said that when it comes to times of turmoils and times of fitan, times of calamities, how people can remain steadfast on this path. He said, عند المصيبة يذهل الناس عن العلم. When it's time of the calamity, time of the musiba, people, they become completely heedless of the knowledge that they have. Like, knowledge might not help you. You know what's going to help you? The beneficial knowledge. What does that mean? Like, so many people so worried about perfecting reading books, understanding certain, you know, fields of Islamic sciences and teachings and so forth, but it's all knowledge, there is no doubt about it. But at time of calamities and fitna, knowledge in itself is not sufficient. What is sufficient, what is important, is the beneficial knowledge, which means by that, he says, وَلَكِنَ الْإِيمَانِ. The strength of your iman is the one that is going to hold you tight at times of fitna. And how do you know if your iman is strong or not? That's where the practice comes in. It doesn't matter how much you know. It's how much you practice of what you know, that's what's going to help you at times of calamity and time of fitan. Now this evening, inshallah, I want each and every one of you to think about how much you know and how much of what you know you're already practicing. If there is a huge gap between what you know and what you're doing, you need to worry about yourself. Wallah, you need to worry about yourself. There is no guarantee. And if there isn't that big gap, alhamdulillah, you should rejoice. Even if you say, but I don't even know much. Who cares? Who cares if we don't know that much? As long as you practice the little that you know. Even the Prophet ﷺ says, بَلِّغُ عَنِّي وَلَوْ آيَةً. You deliver even if it was just one single ayah. And he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, رُبَّ مُبَلَّغٍ أَوْعَى مِنْ سَامِعٍ. Perhaps you can deliver this ayah to somebody who will comprehend and understand it better than the one who heard from you. Sometimes you hear from a speaker, but you will have a better understanding of what you've learned and what you're hearing from him. Why? That's a ni'mah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So once again, I want a commitment from each and every one of us tonight to look at that. Look at how much we know and how much we're practicing of what we already know. If it's not that much, then wallahi, you need to worry about it. If the gap is that great between what we know and what we practice, we definitely need to worry about the time of calamities and time of fitan. So we need to narrow this gap as much as possible by practicing as much as we know, inshallah, azza wa jal. Lastly, inshallah, I will conclude with this hadith. Hadith al-Nawas ibn Sam'an radiallahu ta'ala, which was reported in Musnad Imam Ahmad, rahimahullahu ta'ala, is that the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, ضرب الله مثلا صراطا مستقيما. That Allah Azza wa Jal has given an example. He gave it a parable of a صراط مستقيم, like a straight path. And then he said, وعلى جنبتي الصراط سوران. That path is surrounded or is actually guarded by two walls. So two walls. And through these walls, there is أبواب مفتحة. Through these walls, there are doors that are opened, which means there are no actual doors, they're just opens. And they're guarded with what? Suturun murkha, which means just like curtains. So there is no actual solid door, just a curtain that covers that opening. And then he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَعَلَى بَابِ الصِّرَاطِ دَاعٍ. And at the end of that path, there is someone is calling. Someone is calling. Ya Abdullah, O slave and servant of Allah, keep moving, keep moving. Like keep going forward. Keep going straight and keep going forward on this path. And then he said, وَلَا تَتَعَوَّجُوا فِيهِ, which means don't take turns, right or left. Still keep going straight. And then he said, وَدَاعٍ يَدْعُو مِن فَوْقِ الصِّرَاطِ. And there's another actually caller from above telling the people, keep going straight. And whenever someone tries to, out of curiosity, tries to check one of these curtains or one of these doors, he will say, قَالَ لَا تَفْتَحُ إِنَّكَ إِن تَفْتَحُ تَلِجْهُ. Don't even try. Because if you open it, you're going to for sure get in. Like, don't depend on how much iman you have or how much knowledge you have. If you try to open that gate, there's a great chance you will go through. Then the Prophet ﷺ explained, قال أما الصراط فالإسلام. This straight path is Islam itself. والسوران حدود الله. These walls is the limits and the boundaries of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. والأبواب المفتحة. And these open gates or doors is المحارم, prohibitions. And that's why they were covered with curtains, which means easy to access. Easy to access. And then he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that as for the caller who calls from above, from the front of that sirat, he says, ذَلِكَ كِتَابُ اللَّهِ, the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, teaching you to keep going straight, don't turn right or left. And the one from above keep telling you, don't even try. That is وَاعِدُ اللَّهِ فِي قَلْبِ كُلِّ مْرِئٍ مُسْلِمٍ. That's the wa'ad, which means that as the Prophet called another hadith, لَمَّةُ الْمَلَكِ, is just like the angel who giving you the advice. Like, hey, like this is your conscience. Don't do it. Just don't do it. Well, don't even try. Just one, not even once. All these moments actually, we see the struggle between لَمَّةُ الشَّيْطَانِ, the call from the shaitan, the whim from the shaitan, and from the angels. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us opportunity after opportunity after opportunity. And he's saying, listen, you have the caller that keeps you on the straight path. That's the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we have given you the instrument by which we keep constantly reminding you not to open these doors. And then these doors are open for everybody. Don't take chances. My dear brothers and sisters, like I said earlier at the beginning, when it comes to the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is no guarantee. I, wallahi, don't guarantee my end. You don't guarantee your end. No one guarantees anyone's end in this life until we meet our Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala and we end up in Jannah. May Allah make us among them, ya Rabbil Alameen. In the meantime, we're going to have to keep doing our best as much as we can. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us guidance, ya Rabbil Alameen. Allahumma hadina fi man hadayt, wa'afina fi man afayt, wa tawallana fi man tawallayt, wa barik Allahumma lana fi ma a'tayt. وقنا واصرف عنا شر ما قضيت فإنك تقضي ولا يقضى عليك وإنه لا يذل من واليت ولا يعز من عاديت تباركت ربنا وتعاليت لا ملجأ ولا منجأ منك إلا إليك. We ask you Allah in this blessed night, Ya Rab, to forgive us, Ya Rabb Al-Alamin. We ask you Allah to give us guidance in our hearts, Ya Rabb Al-Alamin. We ask Allah to give us guidance to the straight path that leads to you, Ya Rabb Al-Alamin. We ask you Allah to keep us on the straight path, Ya Rabb Al-Alamin. Make us among those who go through it, Ya Allah, until we meet you, Ya Rabbil Alameen. We ask you, Allah, to give our iman and make our iman strong in our hearts, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Make our iman strong enough, Ya Allah, at times of calamities that we remain steadfast, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Protect us from any fitna, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Ya Allah, we have no control over your qadr. But if, Ya Allah, if your qadr is to have this fitna among the people, Ya Rabbil Alameen, that you guard us and you guard our hearts, Ya Allah. We ask you to protect us, Ya Rabbil Alameen, our parents, our children, our families, our loved ones, Ya Allah. We ask you to unite us all together in Jannat al-Firdaus al-A'la, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Allahumma annaka afuun tuhibbul afwa fa'afu anna. Ya Allah, you're oft forgiving and you love forgiveness, Ya Allah. Forgive us, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Forgive us in the blessed night of Ramadan, Ya Allah. Make this night, Ya Rabbil Alameen, a blessed night to all of us, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Help us achieve this repentance, this tawbah. Help us among those who will return back to Ya Allah. Return back to you with sincerity, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim. We ask you, Allah, to remove any sign of hypocrisy in our hearts. in our minds, in our intentions. We ask you to make us among those who are sincere to you, Ya Rabbil Alameen. We know that we're human beings and we are weak, Ya Allah. We ask you, Ya Rabbil Alameen, to forgive our shortcomings. And Ya Allah, to make us among those who have a strong iman, Ya Rabbil Alameen. We ask you, Allah, to fill our hearts with the love of this deen, Ya Rabbil Alameen. The love for you, love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the righteous ones, Ya Allah. We ask you, Rabbil Alameen, to make us among those who will always, always remember you day and night. Always worship you day and night, Ya Rabbil Alameen. We ask you, Rabbil Alameen, in this blessed night, that you accept from us our fasting, our qiyam, our charities, our dua, our adhkar, our recitation of the Quran. We ask you, Rabbil Alameen, to make it heavy for us in the scale, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim, to elevate our status in Jannat al-Firdaws al-A'la. Make us among those who have the pleasure of the company of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Anbiya and the Shuhada and Salihin. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Any question, Jemaah? So the question is about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioning one of the signs of the Day of Judgment is sometimes people, they see people in dunya that they think of them as the people of Al-Jannah. And subhanAllah, at the end of their term, they flip and end up becoming the people of Jahannam. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says in the hadith, قَالَ إِنَّ الرَّجُلْ لَيَعْمَلُ بِعَمَلِ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ حَتَّى مَا يَكُونُ بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَهَا إِلَّا ذِرَاعٌ فَيَسْبِقْ عَلَيْهِ الْكِتَابُ فَيَعْمَلُ بِعَمَلِ أَهْلِ النَّارِ فَيَدْخُلُهَا. That some people, they would do the work of Jannah. You will see them day and night, that you will have absolutely no doubt that this person, man or woman, will be from the people of Jannah. But then subhanAllah, right before they end their lives, they flip. They switch. And they do things that would negate all the good deeds they've done. And they end up in Jahannam. And then he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that sometimes you will have somebody who would do the work of the people of Jahannam. Like you will look at some people, they say, he or she, she's doomed, he's doomed, these people of Jahannam. You don't know. Because at the end of their life, they probably, subhanAllah, they might switch again, switch direction. And they repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they do things that will Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive them all the sins that they've committed before. And they enter in Jannah. So that is the fitna that we're talking about over here. There is no guarantee. There is no guarantee. If you see somebody who is not necessarily, you know, the way you are, doing good deeds and righteous deeds and so on, don't judge people. You don't know, wallahi. And if you think that you're strong enough right now, that mashallah, alhamdulillah, you made it so far, no, don't do that. Imam Ahmad, rahimahullah ta'ala, in his biography, his son said, that on one of those moments when he was on his deathbed, what a scary moment for Imam Ahmad rahimahullah, and his son actually. He said, when I saw my father is almost losing it, basically he's departing from this world, I came close to him and says, Ya Abati, قُلْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. Say La ilaha illallah. My father, just say La ilaha illallah. So Imam Ahmad, he says, لَيْسَ بَعْد, لَيْسَ بَعْد, not yet. And then he fell unconscious. His son freaked out. Like, whoa. What happened to my dad? And then after some time, Imam Ahmad rahimahullah, he recovered. And then his son had the ability to communicate with his dad. قَالَ يَا أَبَتِي مَا هَذَا مَا. I was telling you to say La ilaha illallah, and you told me, not yet. What is this about? قَالَ يَا بُنَيْ. He says, my son, I saw the shaitan came to me. So I saw the shaitan come in the form of a human being. And he was biting on his fingers. And he was saying, فُتَّنِي يَا أَحْمَد. Like, you made it, Ahmed. Like, I missed you. You made it. So Imam Ahmad, rahimahullah, was afraid if he says yes, that would be a sign of ujub, sign of arrogance. That, yeah, I did it. I made it. And he would lose everything. So he kept saying, not yet. Like, I'm still alive. And subhanAllah, we don't want to have these moments in our lives, jama'ah. That every moment we think we're doing good, the shaitan will come and we say, I missed you. Like, this Ramadan was awesome for you. No, not yet. I don't even know how it's going to end, Allah al-Musta'an. So make sure to keep doing good, inshallah, Azza wa Jal. And never feel desperate of the mercy of Allah, Azza wa Jal. Wallahu a'lam. Yes. So at the beginning, I asked you a question. How many of you know somebody who used to be on the path of khayr and da'wah, and they're no longer on that path? And it seems that we have a large number of people. Obviously, for many people, this is depressing, right? Now, here's the thing. The first thing I want you all to understand, that the nature of this path is that it's not so many people will be walking on it. Like expecting the majority to be on this path, that's not natural. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَقَلِيلٌ مِّنْ عِبَادِيَ الشَّكُورِ. Few among my servants are those who are grateful. So on this path, don't expect majority. So if it's in terms of numbers, it's less and less, that is natural to it. You just make sure one thing, the most important thing, is you be among those who are few. You always stay as the one of those who are few. Like actually one of the ulama said one time he was doing umrah, and in tawaf he heard somebody keep making that dua. He says, Allahumma ja'alni min al-qaleel. Allahumma ja'alni min al-qaleel. Like keep saying throughout his tawaf, Ya Allah, make me among the few. Make me among the few. And he's just like, what are you talking about? What kind of dua is that? So he grabbed him out of curiosity. He goes, what is this dua that you're making? He goes, well, I heard Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَقَلِيلٌ مِّنْ عِبَادِيَ الشَّكُورِ. Few among my servants are truly grateful. And I'm just making dua that I'm among those few people. So the path to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not have the majority. That's one thing. The second thing right now is, like I said at the end of my talk, is that never feel desperate of the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal. Which means, even though you know these people, they dropped out, never lose hope in them coming back. And make everything possible to bring them back. And being frank with you, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, I had those, Alhamdulillah, I would say, beautiful opportunities. That I remember when I was very young, we had, mashallah, we used to be friends, a lot of friends actually, together, as we were teenagers. And obviously when you, subhanAllah, you reach a certain age, you go to college and people start taking different paths. So one of my colleagues who used to be my best friend and buddy, we used to prepare the halaqat together. We used to search the talks together. We used to help each other with that. He just went rogue, yani, completely, subhanAllah, went off. It was so depressing for me. I heard about it when I was studying in Medina. And that was very depressing for me. Wallahi, I never stopped sending letters to him. He never replied. He never replied. Back in the day, there was no email, Jama. We used to send actual letters. You put a stamp on it and send it and it takes weeks to come back again. And wallahi, I used to send him letters regularly. Actually, even to add more to this, I used to even photocopy these letters. Not like now, you have digital everything, subhanAllah, can save it on the computer. No, I used to actually photocopy these letters, and I save it. And I still have them to meet today with me at home, these letters. I kept sending him letter after letter, letter after letter. Not ask him to do anything in particular. No, I used to send him a letter, speaking to him as a friend, as if we're still in mashallah, wonderful, perfect terms. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. And he never replied. 2 years, 3 years. In my graduation year, subhanAllah, my graduation year, suddenly, that's when I see this guy coming to my dorm. I'm like, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Look at this big beard, mashallah. What happened to you? And then Allah, it was a surprising moment, fadlillah azza wa jal. After all these years of running away, he finally actually came back. And one of the things that, alhamdulillah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep him on the straight path, ya Rabbil Alameen, says that one of the things that really brought me back again is your insistence. Like basically you keep nagging me so much that I wanted to stop you by coming back. But then subhanAllah, it became fi sabilillah, for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. So I'm saying is that never lose hope in these friends. You do your best. Do your part. Ask for guidance in the hand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So many people, they attach themselves to the results, and that's a big problem. That's wrong. You're not responsible to guide people. You're responsible to deliver the message to them. That's all. Guidance is in the hand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wallahu alam. Naam. Sisters, any question? Okay, yes, Akhi, go ahead. So, for example, what are those, you know, shake-up moments, for example? What do you consider shake-up moments? Here's the thing. When I say shake-ups, it's relative, depends on the level of people's iman, and also in terms of involvement in the khair and the da'wah and so on. So basically, for someone who's not very well involved in da'wah and speaking, you know, to other people, inviting other people to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they might have their own individual shakeups in terms of tests with wealth and money and losing a loved one and this and that and so on. But in terms of massive shakeups, now that's something, again, it depends on a class of people. I would focus mainly on those who are concerned with da'wah and calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Can I, let's say one particular shakeup in this generation? I don't want to really put my finger on one area in particular to say this is the one. Because our ulama, usually they say, we should not be pinpointing specific fitan and say, this is the one according to the ayah or the hadith. We cannot say this particular one. So I would not be able to say, this is the one, but I know one thing for sure, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's way and sunnah is to test the people. I know that for sure. When, how, the magnitude, that's in the hand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahu a'lam. Naam. Yes. Which one? Hayth an-Nawas ibn Sam'an. Hayth an-Nawas ibn Sam'an radiyallahu ta'ala anhu wa ardahu, Musnad Imam Ahmad rahimahullah, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, daraballahu mathalan siratan mustaqiman. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Allah azza wa jal is given us the example of a straight path. And then he said, وَعَلَى جَانِبَتَيِ الصِّرَاطِ سُورًا. And on the side of this path, there are two walls. And then he said, وَفِي هَذَانِ السُّورَانِ, there's in these actually two walls, there are أَبْوَابٌ مُفَتَّحَ عَلَيْهَا سُتُورٌ مُرْخَى. They're open doors, and they're covered with curtains, only with curtains. And then he said, and at the end of that path, there is da'in. Someone is calling people, and calling people to say, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ أُدْخُلُوا فِي الصِّرَاطِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَتَعَوَّجُوا فِيهِ. You all come, keep going straight. Don't take turns. Don't go to the side. And then on the above, he said, صلى الله عليه وسلم, there's another caller asking people and says, whenever they try to open these curtains, he says, لَا تَفْتَحُ إِنَّكَ أَن تَفْتَحُ تَلِجْهُ. Don't even try to open. Because if you try to pull that curtain, just to, as of curiosity, you might fall into this fitna. Don't even try. Stay away from it. Then the Prophet explained the meaning of this parable and this example. He says, as for the sirat, this straight path is al-Islam itself. These two walls are the boundaries of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And these doors are maharimullah, the prohibitions. And then he said, as for the one who calls at the head of the sirat, that path is the Quran. And the one calling from above is your conscience, is basically your يعني لَمَّةُ malak, that the advisor that keeps, you know, helping you doing the right thing, inshallah ta'ala. Wallahu a'lam. Naam. Sisters, do we have any question? Okay, last question, inshallah. Bismillah. He didn't eat for 3 days, you say? I'm not sure about this one that you're mentioning, but Ka'b ibn Malik is one of the famous Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum wa ardahum yani. And actually his popularity is for sure because of this ayah, because Allah revealed Quran in his regard yani. And he obviously didn't expect this tawbah to be in the Quran. He expected Allah just will send tawbah to the Prophet, will be announced, and that's it. But to be mentioned in the Quran, now this is an absolute honor. But I don't know about the story that you're mentioning here. Wallahu ta'ala alam. Khair, inshallah. We have an hour, inshallah, until we start our tahajjud. So this is the time for you guys. It's the 23rd night. I hope, inshallah ta'ala, from all of you to get involved, inshallah, in private ibadah. And if you guys are going to be staying in the main musalla area, we ask you to respect the time and the space for those who would like to worship, inshallah ta'ala. So don't congregate together and don't make, you know, any social gatherings in this time right now. Make sure the people, inshallah ta'ala, enjoy their ibadah for this evening. Tonight, inshallah, our qari will be Brother Umar Yusuf, inshallah. Jazakumullah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.